You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Strutty, how you doing?
I'm good, but I'm sorry to hear about the structure, but isn't that where you used to do your chin-ups? Do like your 3-4 chin-ups a day?
Oh, no, buddy. I got that in the gym. I got the bar, right? I even have one of those in the hallway bars. So, yeah, I hate chin-ups, though. God, they're the worst. Like, I know that they're good for you, but I loathe them. So.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever improved at them. That's the thing, right? Like, you know, I can't even remember what my max was. It was never a lot, right? But it's just, yeah, I don't know. You never, you know, like at least with a bench press or something, you seem to, oh, yeah, you have like a certain set number and you can get past it. That's great. But I don't know, chin-ups, I just, you know, if I was at 8 and I got to 9, it doesn't feel any more satisfying. I don't know why.
It is
I don't
tough.
Like it. Now, you're back in Kelowna. As I'm watching, you know, the taking away my child's youth in the backyard, did you tear up as you drove into Kamloops, thinking of all the fond memories and the hair and the tight suits that you used to have?
You know, it is funny. So I'm here for to watch Memorial Cup. I'll watch a couple games, and my old Kamloops team played tomorrow night against Seattle. But, you know, driving in here, it's funny. It was like a time machine. Jason Hall and I, it's like, you know, I remember driving in here when I was 18 and, you know, to a new experience and some new opportunities. And I didn't imagine I'd have the run I did, both here and then after. But I'm sitting here with a few of my teammates having a bit of a longer lunch than we probably should. But and one of our coaches is there talking about our time. And then, he was talking about what he saw in us and what we didn't do right until we kind of figured it out. And it was just kind of neat to hear it from, like, now as an adult and as a guy who coaches, hearing, you know, about our team and what our team was good at and bad at. And it's just a great. So hopefully we'll hook up with a bunch more guys tonight and then watch a couple games and hopefully Blazers win tomorrow night.
Well, yeah, they're if they win tomorrow night, unless there's a miracle Peterborough win, they win tomorrow night. It's basically just for a little bit of bragging rights, and then probably have a rematch in the semifinal. The way it's shaping up right now.
Yeah, pretty odd. Pretty odd. So, I mean, there's a chance that the game could mean nothing tomorrow, right? But then, you know, if you're, it's hard to say. Like, do you think that if Seattle can beat the Blazers twice, or can the Blazers beat Seattle twice, you know, if you win that first game? So, what is a little psychology that goes into it? Do you address your backup? Like, who knows, right? And we'll see how it happens. But it's a Memorial Cup, and you want to play well every single game you can. But it is odd to think that tomorrow night's game between two big rivals could mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, which is odd. You know, last night, Seattle, Quebec closely played game. Seattle couldn't score early on their chances, and then Quebec just didn't give up much in the second half of that game. So I give them a lot of credit. Today, Strutty, I wrote an article, and I was waiting for you to come on to talk about it. It took me quite a few days researching all of this, and it has all 32 teams and where they rank when it comes to, you know, how they're allocating their money to their top, you know, 3 players, 5 players, and 7 players. And it actually does change, right, because obviously you need depth and, you know, where they rank and different things. And if you look from a league-wide perspective, Edmonton ranks third by having $30.25 million allocated to their top 3 players, which are, of course, in salary, McDavid, Nurse, and Draisaitl. Right. Then Edmonton is seventh when it comes to top 5 salaries, and their top 7 salaries, they're fifth. Tampa Bay's 1, then Toronto, New York, Dallas, Edmonton. Florida's right behind. Actually, Florida might be slightly ahead now that I think that. I might have to redo that. Then Washington, Colorado, Minnesota, all those teams are at 50, although Minnesota has 14 of that in dead cap space, unfortunately for them. But you look at it, and all those teams are more the competitive teams. Like, I've heard a lot of times, oh, you're too top-heavy. But after looking at all the numbers, I think you have to be top-heavy if you want to really win.
Well, top-heavy, it means you have good players to pay. You know, it's great to say we don't pay anyone, but if you don't pay anyone, then you have a lot of Jason Strudwicks running around making very little money and not really producing much. So you want to try to have, I think, that the right balance as far as, you know, how you pay your top guys. And then finding value in players further down your lineup, specifically kind of like that lower third of the pyramid, or your pay structure, I guess we'll call it here. And I think that's how you have to make it happen. You know, you even look at Toronto for, you know, and we can speak about whether they paid their guys too much, but like a guy like Bunting, they got really good value out of him. And I remember saying, who is this guy? He comes out of Arizona. He's going to be here and they expect him to be the savior of that team. Well, he did. He performed well above his contract, but you need to have guys like that. But if you're not paying top dollar for guys, that means most likely you don't have top players.
Totally valid, right? And I think it shows that. You definitely need it. Now, Carolina has lots of really good players, but no great offensive players, right? And I think that's been proven come playoff time that that's what you need. And now, of course, last night, it's funny, Vegas wins because a lot of their depth guys shows up, right? And that'll happen for a game or two. But a lot of the times, Eichel, Marchessault, you know, their better guys have been their better players. Right. And it's no different in Florida. You look at Bobrovsky's $10 million goalie, stand on his head. Kachuk's being excellent for them. Barkov's being excellent. And, you know, you look at Edmonton. Now that they did lose, you know, you still need some depth. And I think the 2022 Oilers loss showed that even with two elite guys scoring 2 points a game, you know, it wasn't enough. So you do need good contributions from the rest of your lineup. But ultimately, I think you win and you lose with the kind of the core seven or eight guys of your team.
Well, those guys are going to carry the play. Like, you think how much they're going to play minutes-wise. You know, your 12 forward is not playing 20 minutes a night, right? So your top guys are on the ice more. You're hoping they'll be healthy as much as possible and more than other times. All those are the types of things you want to have happen so you can have your top guys playing. But let's just look at Florida. You know, Sergei Bobrovsky signed a long contract with Florida for a ton of money. And, yeah, you know, it hasn't been probably what they expected. But if they're able to win a Stanley Cup with him as their goalie, he didn't start as a goalie in the playoffs, but he's played so well. Like, I think you look at the last couple of series, he's been a beast. So now, you know, if they get a Stanley Cup with him as their goalie and he struggles the rest of the time, you know what? It's probably worth it. You probably get your money back out of that investment. Plus, you're a Stanley Cup winner.
Jason Stroud joins us. I'm the Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Now, you could maybe have a little bit too much as well. And that's why when I was compiling this, the thing that stood out to me was Kyle Dubas and how much money he allocated to those three contracts early in his tenure as GM hurt him for the entire tenure. Because they didn't have a lot of flexibility. Like they had $33 million allocated to three guys, right? Like that was $5 million more than every team but four. And then, you know, you look at their top five, they had $48 million. Like that was $7 million more than Edmonton and Colorado.
Yeah.
So I look at Dubas and the reason I use that as an example is next summer is when the Edmonton Oilers can start negotiations with Leon Draisaitl. That doesn't happen to happen right away. And then the following summer, it's Connor McDavid. And I look at the importance of the Edmonton Oilers to have Ken Holland. You know what? If he's only the president of hockey ops, fine. But they got to have somebody experienced in there in the art of negotiating for arguably like the next two renewals are going to be huge. It's not just, well, we got to pay McDavid and Draisaitl anything they want. Because I think if those two want to win, they're not just going to take everything they want because then they can't win. But, you know, how do you massage that? And, you know, you might have to only agree on a 5-year deal. But I wouldn't want a rookie GM, his first tour of duty, negotiating two very important contracts for the future of the organization.
Well, just two of the biggest contracts that he'll probably negotiate in his life, right?
Yeah.
At that moment. When you look at the way the team is at in their window of winning, where those two guys are at in their kind of careers, where the league is at. Like, these are two significant players. There'd be a big market for those two guys if they were to hit the market. So I think when you look at signing players like that, you have to sit down and show them what you're doing, what the plan is. Like, this isn't the same as signing, let's say, Cody Ceci. You're trying to sell Cody Ceci on coming here. Okay, buddy, this is the money we're looking at. This is your role. Yeah, this is what the team's trying to do. But no disrespect to Cody Ceci. He is not changing, altering a franchise as much as these guys. So you have to sit down and make them understand that this is what we're going to do. This is what we see happening. Compare them to maybe Sidney and Malkin or other teams or Ovechkin or all these guys or even Rantanen and McCarr and McKinnon down in Colorado. Like, this is your team. This is a group of people. You're selling them on your vision of your team now and the future, and then making them understand where they fit in the salary cap. Maybe you can explain and show how other players like Crosby or Malkin or McKinnon or whoever has signed after their team staying with a long time. Like, this is a big, long process. It might end on the answer you want, but you have to go through all that. So to have a rookie GM or someone who isn't familiar with that situation intimately would be difficult. So I think it'd have to be a multi-person approach, and to have Ken there to help out and facilitate over that time of 18 months or whatever it's going to be, I think it'd be huge.
As we're now a month away from the draft, and basically a month away from, you know, free agency, qualifying offers and everything, on June 30th, you know, you decide if you're going to qualify players or not, and some of these RFAs are going to become unrestricted free agents. What do you think happens with Kleem Costin? Do you think ultimately they get a deal done before? Because I'm not sure they want to qualify him only due to the risk of what an arbitrator would give him.
So if I'm Kleem Costin, I'm looking at my career so far, and there hasn't been an NHL career before I came to Edmonton. Edmonton has helped him create an identity, helped him create a role on a team, and a good team that has got him in the NHL. So I think he now is accepted as an NHL player. But at what price? And that's the challenge for him, because he can price himself right out of the NHL very quickly. So if I'm Kleem, I'd be very interested in signing a one-year contract at Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, to be here, a group that understands me, where I've got some traction, where I have guys like Kane supporting me or whoever has been helping me out find my game. But, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to go to another team. So let's say he says, well, my number is X, and the owner's like, we can't do that. Okay, we're going to go to arbitration, and he gets whatever, he gets X. Well, guess what? The owner's like, we can't afford that. You're out. Boom. Now he can go sign somewhere else. He might get more money, but your career might die in the vine in two years. I think he has to understand he needs to build off of the momentum he has. And I would, that'd be my advice if that was my own son or a good friend. Get a deal here done that works, then just for 1 year. And then if you can do the same thing and even grow on it, now you're going to start moving into more salary years, and those might not be in Edmonton unless there's a big change salary-wise in the salary cap.
That's an interesting perspective. Like, I wonder, you know, how many players take that into account. Did you ever have an agent tell you that?
Well, I'm in Vancouver. I mean, they offered me a 3-year contract after the one. So I signed, I arrived there, played out that one. I signed another 1 year, then they offered me a 3-year. I remember saying to my agent, like, is this the best deal? He's like, Strutty, you love it here. They love you here. Why would you go anywhere else or even look anywhere else? And I was like, you're still right. Like, not that I was a free agent, but maybe I could, you know, I could have maybe taken a 1 year, try to get more money. He's like, this fits right, feels right for everybody. So just sign it. And it was the best advice. So for Kleem, it's a little bit different. He likes it here. The team obviously likes him. His teammates like him. But he's never had traction before arriving here. Like, I think that's something to go back to. He was a non-NHL player till he arrived here. Now there's a vision of what he could be.
Yeah, no, that's I think it's really good advice. And, you know, it's different for every player at different stages of their career. And then, you know, because sometimes, hey, the grass isn't always greener. And it's no different than relationships. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that would attest to it. You know, they were in a relationship and, geez, you know what, I saw something else. And then it's, you know, it ends up not being as good or what have you. So I don't think it's any different, because we've seen some players, Strutty, that leave to a team and their career completely derails. Now, some guys go to another team and it's unreal. Hello, Matthew Tkachuk. So, you know, it can vary. I think it's, if you're an elite player, I think it's different, because you've got the skill. But for lots of other guys, we just had Phil Kemp on, and he talked about how razor thin the line is for lots of guys between, you know, being in the lineup and playing well, and then not being in the lineup and not playing well, or not even being in the league. And Costin would probably fall into that category.
He does. But like, so let's just compare two guys. Derek Ryan and Kleem Costin. If a team sides are going to, let's say they're both UFAs July 1st. If you're going to sign Derek Ryan, you know exactly what you're getting. I think it's pretty clear. This is who he is. He has a track record. He's an older player. Everyone knows what he's all about. For another team, Kleem Costin, you think you know what you're getting, right? So you're going to get a guy who can skate, can shoot pretty well, is physical, likes to fight. He takes some bad penalties, though. Let's just call it as it is. So the new coach might hate the fact that he takes penalties in the offensive zone. Might hate it. So also now his minutes go down. Maybe he's out of the lineup. And even he signs a one-year deal for, I'm just going to pick a number, $2 million. Instead, the Oilers giving him $1.5 million. you know, he makes an extra $500,000, but it might the next year he might be back on league minimum because it didn't work out for him. So I really think when you have traction with it, a team in the league, just do it for one more year. Like, I know $500,000, and I don't know those are numbers, but it's a lot of money. But, you know, if you're thinking of playing 10 years and not just 2 years in the NHL, don't think that way. Get it. Try to get it up and running and just get yourself really solidified in the league. Then worry about the cash.
Strutty, what's on tap for the Memorial Cup comeback tour for Jason Strudwick tonight?
Well, we got Matt Domenichelli here, a local North Edmonton product. He's here, and he really wants to get us all a picture in front of Memorial Cup. So we're just going to go down there and try to find Memorial Cup and try to get a picture. That's our goal before the game at 6. So we have 3.5 hours to sort that out.
Well, good luck with that, Strutty, and we will chat with you back from Kelowna later this week. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.